Thank you, Lord. So good to be in His presence. I love worship. I don't want to miss that. Oh, He is so good. Just before we start, you know, we always have this, or lately, anyway, we've had this wonderful meal prepared for us, and I so appreciate Sharon and all the people that helped Sharon, and Tammy for the coffee, and you know, it's just lots of work. So thank you for that. If you have a chance to stick around and help with the cleanup, that's a good way to serve. You know, that's just a neat thing. If you're not serving, you're not active within the body. But prayer is a part of serving, so thanks, Jesus. I'm going to read from Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11, 1. And I'll read to 3 and then 8:16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. I'm not preparing you for that. Not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they are strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus made it clear that they were seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I was struck with that last sentence. It's not what I'm preaching about, but God was not ashamed to be called their God. Never thought of that. I thought he was big enough to handle anything, but has God ever been ashamed to be called my God? Oh, I hope not. I know he's big enough to handle it all. He's an amazing, amazing person. And I don't believe, because of the rest of the Bible, that he would ever be ashamed or even be tempted to be ashamed of being called your God, because he loves you so much. Amazing God. What I wanted to talk about is, actually, you heard it. You heard my sermon, pretty much, from Pastor Christine and from Stefan and from Amanda. I think if you... Oh, that's very kind, Bob. Thank you. Offering a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, right? Yeah. Thank you. God bless you. You will not lose your reward. I have that on good authority. They preached it this morning for me. And I really love that, you know? That's one of the criteria Christine was talking about when we started the church. And one of the criteria when we started the church was we want it to be Holy Spirit driven. So we don't want to have everything so orchestrated that we have that the worship leader knows exactly what I'm preaching, so that they can pick the songs, or I could pick the songs that fit with what I'm preaching on, and so it just, you know, it all goes together. Now that works so wonderfully, because people get their hearts touched, and it's awesome. But we chose a philosophy of management, if you would, of a church, because, you know, there is no template for running church, right? There's no big set of rules. You know, we have 1 Corinthians 11, maybe, to 15, that sort of runs a church service, but that's as close as it gets. And so we decided that we wanted to go as Holy Spirit ordained and running as we could, and so nobody would know what everybody else is doing. And so when it comes together, you go, must have been God, or a coincidence, right? If you still believe in coincidences, you're in the wrong church. Because I think God does it all, and he's amazing. So I sit here, and I listen to what's going on, and I think, all of that insecurity about what I was preaching about today, I feel way better. So I'm going, oh, praise your name, Jesus. Real heartfelt worship, you know? Maybe I'm letting you too far in. There is a thing called status quo. You familiar with it? It's a Latin phrase, and it means sort of the way things are. Ronald Reagan said it meant the mess we're in. But status quo can be a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. It can tie you down, or it can ground you. You know, it's just typical of God. Which way do we go? A couple of years ago, God said to me, stand. He didn't say it in Scripture, but he brought confirmations for me from all kinds of different ways, so that I knew it was his voice I was hearing. Stand, he said. A stand when I feel like running. Because at the time, there was so much opportunity for shame and for anger and for disappointment to have set in. And I really didn't want to go through what I saw the next while bringing. I wanted to be away from it, you know. Like Peter Pan, live in Never Never Land, so I don't have to deal with those things. But God said, stand, and so what do you do?
Obey.
Yeah, you don't, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of choice. I got a religious wife, and she... The problem is I can't tell her what I'm hearing from God, because she'll make me do it. And in churches there's a thing that rises up in church, kind of a religious spirit where status quo becomes an object to be worshipped. You know, there was a time when most of the North American church felt that it was of the devil to play drums in church. Woo. or go to a movie or play cards or now there was you had to kind of bend scriptures to make it work for you, but that was not a problem for people to bend the scripture because it went with the way they believed. But it was there was a religious spirit, and I think attached to that, and so that gets challenged after a while, and you don't stay in the status quo, you move on. But if you go with that flow too much, you take on the culture that you're in, and you lose the saltiness of the scripture. You lose the gospel, and you become relevant to a people, but no longer have the power to change them. There are kind of two ditches, one on either side, and you got to avoid either one because they both drown you. You got to stay on this path with God. Now, where are we going, God? Right. What are we doing? There's a rule in Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And we've been there once, and it was a joy to be there. But there's this rule that they have for the running of the religious shrines in Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And they call it, believe it or not, the status quo rule. Status quo rule is that nothing changes unless all of the people that use, like all of the founding bodies, that if you were, that use those things, agree on it. Okay? So you can't make a change to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, for example, where Jesus was laid. They say there's a couple of different places where different people say that Jesus was put in a tomb, but the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was the most consistent one over the years. And so 250 years ago, that and the place where the manger was and different sites in Israel were designated as places that the status quo has to remain the same, as people at that time were wanting to change it. And I am so glad that they didn't do it on one side. I'm glad that they didn't just leave it open and let people change it however they wanted, because in the 50s and 60s, when Disneyland was going at the beginning, they would have had Ferris wheels at the place of Jesus' death, and it would have been just a horror show. But it's become an immovable object, the status quo rules, because there are six. Yeah, I looked at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and there are six groups that have to agree. Greek Orthodox, Armenian Apostolic, Roman Catholic, Coptic Orthodox, Syriac Orthodox, and Ethiopian Orthodox. Now, the heads of each of them have to agree before they can change anything in there. Other than, like, you can do the candles. They've all agreed that you can put new candles in all the time. So there is a ladder just above the entranceway. You go through this door. We were through that door, and I saw the ladder. It's called the unmovable ladder now. Because of the rule, you can't change anything unless everybody agrees on it. That ladder is part of it. So this 250-year-old ladder hasn't been moved. It's not doing any good where it is right now, and it will never do any good. But it's a ladder that is unmovable because everybody has to agree. And some years ago, there was a, what did they call it? It's funny. The chair is, oh, here it is. The case of the rooftop chair. There were a bunch of the clerics that take care of it, the church folks that take care of the Holy Sepulchre. And up on the roof, they had a bunch of chairs. And they were all resting from their time of having been down there and dealing with the people that come in. And one of the clerics wanted to move his chair under the shade because it gets really hot there. And so he picked up his chair, and they broke out in a fight. Two sets of people, it was the Ethiopians and Egyptians, yeah. They started to fight, and there were people hospitalized because he dared to move a chair. Now that's wrong. But that can be church, too. You know, like, what color should our carpet be, you know? Yeah, church splits over that. Ridiculous stuff. I mean, it's just... So what do you do when you're trying to listen to God? Is status quo a good thing? Is, like, what does he mean by stand? What does stand mean to you? Does it mean just stay where you are and don't move? Or does it have a bigger connotation? And is it really biblical that he said to me to stand? Because I know that in some places it says, go. Go ye therefore forth. Make disciples of every nation, you know? Like if I had read that, go. I'm supposed to, come on, honey, we're moving. This is our scripture. This way, relationship with God dictates that we are run by the Logos. The Logos, the written word, which is Jesus, has to be our governing authority. And yet, the word says that we can have this Rhema's word. That we can have a spoken word from God that would direct us. Now you can't teach from that kind of a word because it's a word in season kind of thing. And so God can speak to you a life-changing word that might not just measure up from your way of thinking. And have you go against the status quo. So it's important that you have confirmation of those kind of things. But it's so important in relationship that we not just stay with the Logos, but we have this vital, living relationship with the Word and with the God of the universe. And so when he says something to us, will you expand that, Lord? Will you show me what that means? So we look at these guys that we just read in the word from Hebrews 11. And Abraham was told that he was to leave where he was. He was in Haran, and he was told to leave there and go. Go to where? Didn't say. Just go. Leave everything you got. Go. And so he did. That's faith. That's faith. That's faith in action. Him leaving and doing what God wanted him to do. Now, he wasn't completely convinced all the time that God was doing that, but he was a man of faith because he actually put feet to the things that God had called him to do. Some some situations, like in 1 Corinthians 7:17, says, nevertheless, this is one of the governing scriptures of my understanding of how church is to work. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place that in life that the Lord assigned to him and which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. So when you come to a church, stay there. When God sends you to a church, stay there. But he might also say, now your time's up, go. But you should stay. You shouldn't be looking around everywhere. Well, the Spirit isn't going, or I'm not being fed, or, you know. Like, there are reasons for all of that. And it's not all about your comfort or your satisfaction. You could be there for somebody else.
Right.
But it's so important that we have a station to be in as people. And so I think that's very important to churches. But that's the way I think. So doesn't seem to be the way the church thinks these days. Moses was told to go and talk to Pharaoh. And Moses said, no, you don't really want me. I have a speech impediment. I can't talk. You got to send somebody with me to talk. So God said, okay, you know, like Moses really was saying, no, I don't want to go. But God saw that, so he sent Aaron with him, right? Aaron will be your spokesman. Aaron will be your prophet. And you will be as God to Pharaoh. They got there, and Aaron didn't say a darn word. Moses said everything. You know? So funny. when you're on the way with God. Now Moses was told to do something specific, and by faith he went ahead and did it. By faith. And how without faith it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Without faith. So what does it mean does faith always demand that you be moving in order for faith to be working? Because faith is an action, right? Does it require that? I think one of the foundational understandings of the movement of the King of God or the Kingdom of God is that we are taking territory every time we take a step for God. And so there's movement in that. And as we take the territory, there is always reaction to our taking it because we took it from somebody in the spirit realm, I'm talking, not the physical realm. Took it from somebody, and so there's a reaction, there's a fight to everything that we move into in the kingdom. And we as people of action see that in order to be taking the kingdom, you've got to be moving. You've got to be doing something in God. You've got to be achieving some purpose. Are you teaching about marriages? Are you meeting every day to pray for your country? Are you like? Is there an action that you're doing that is causing you to take this territory? Well, sometimes there isn't. It's either side of the road, you know? Shema, in 2 Samuel, Shema was one of David's mighty men. He's my favorite. Like one of them jumped into a pit on a snowy day and slayed a lion. I mean, that's incredible Hulk stuff, I think, way beyond me. But Shema was an amazing guy because the Philistines had been, they're bullies. They were just plain bullies. They would allow you to plant your fields and water your fields and take care of your fields. And just as they got up to the place where you're going to harvest, they'd ride in and they'd take what they wanted and destroy the rest. And year after year it had been like that. And Shema got to this time where he's in this lentil field, and I would guess that the Spirit of God came upon him. And he said, no, this is it. This year, you're going through me. I'm not going to run up into the hills and hide in a cave. I'm standing here. And he stood in his lentil field and slew, that means killed to death, all of the Philistines that were coming against that field. He stood. And it was time to stand. And that changed the course of the way things were going, because people started to see, oh, we can do that. Oh, we can actually have our harvest. We can actually eat what we plant. This is a good thing. Shema is a hero to me. And he was one of the three top mighty men of David. Some say that he's the guy that slew 300 men in one day, and his hand was welded to his sword, you know. Whatever. He did it. Amen. And he stood. It wasn't a go. It wasn't a you got to be taking. It was just a defending. And there's a time for that. Now Stefan had a word this morning that it's attack time. Yes. And that's a good word. That is a good word, because we've been defending all of this time. Because believe it or not, there has been a concerted effort in the spirit realm to destroy the work of this church. And you have all made a decision that you're going to stand with this church. And I applaud that. Some of you have joined us since we got into this place where we had to stand. And I'm so grateful. Because this is a work of God. And bless you for it. And I know he's blessing. But is it a fight against people? No, never has it been a fight against people. It's been a fight against the spirit realm. The principalities and powers and those things that we're called to have our warfare against. But movement, one way or the other, it's time to attack. Attack can look like different things too. Yeah. Like, how much faith does it take for a person to move from fear to faith?
Yeah. Good.
You don't have to make one step externally, but you have to take incredible territory internally. To move from a place of shame to joy is an incredible journey of faith. Because God takes us there one step at a time internally. The kingdom is built first internally in each of us. In each of us. Before we can take the territory externally. Because if your internal kingdom is inferior to what God wants to give you externally, it will implode and you will have so much trouble in life.
Yes.
Example, people that win the lottery. Yes. They come from a place of poverty. Kaboom, they've got all kinds of money. 5 years later, it's usually much less, but 5 years later when they look back, they're worse off, most of them are worse off than the day that they won. Because they could not handle the external growth and availability to them. It imploded in their poverty mindset. And they returned to that because it just all kind of caves in. If they were in a place where their kingdom had been built up inside of them, the kingdom of God had been built up, then money's no issue. It could have been extended over the 5 years and they could be way better off. But it's important to build it internally. So how much faith does it take for a man to be a loyal, faithful husband? A father? A good provider? That takes incredible faith in this day and age. How do we know what every mother is going through with all of the pressures on mothers to live their lives daily and to bring up their kids? It takes faith to do that and remain strong. It takes faith for people who want to have kids to not have the kids when they want them. And to believe that God is a rewarder somehow, even though it doesn't look like it to me. And these are all internal struggles.
Yes.
People that are moving ahead incredibly and not satisfied with the status quo. But how can you tell, how can I tell what everybody is going through? Are you moving ahead? Or are you staying the way you were? Because my heart is that you would move ahead. But I can't tell by looking at you because you're not doing the things that I think you should be doing or others around you think you should be doing. The battles often are internal and huge. And that's why we need to be sensitive one to another.
Yes.
Each one of us. And not judge.
Right.
Not judge. One of the hardest lessons that we learned over the last couple of years is no judgment. Everybody's going through something very hard. So judge not lest you be judged, because it does come back on you. If you're thinking, well, they're just doing this because of... Don't go there. Just say, bless them wherever they are, Lord. Help them through this struggle.
Yes.
Help them to remain strong in you. Help them to be... Where do we go?
Status quo in the kingdom is not an option. Status quo, just things remaining as they are, is not an option. Thank you.
Status quo in the kingdom is... got it? Status quo is... We can't stay there. We must be taking some kind of territory. We must be moving in some way to be more like Jesus. Just because you're not like Sharon and conserving the poor all the time doesn't mean you're not accomplishing something in the kingdom. The attack time is now. It's to take territory. One thing we've been learning about the Father heart of God is that He wants us to trust Him with the job that He started. He says, I will see through to completion that good work that I started.
Yes.
And so we need to trust that He's going to do that. How do we do that? And not be in status quo. We give Him authority to move us along. Just simply, Father, I want You to do this. I give You the ability to change anything in me. You have the ability, sorry. I give You the permission in my life to change anything.
Yeah.
And help me to move, and I will move by faith.
Yeah.
The faith is giving him that permission. Not being satisfied with status quo, because we all have healing to do. We all have territory to take. We all have a place to move ahead in the kingdom. Does that mean we're taking on the Stephen's word for attack? Does that mean that we have to have 5 more programs in this church in order to accomplish attack? No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. But it may require you to be a part of something that's already there. Coming out to prayer. Being a part of the service in some way. Being a part of a home group. Hosting a home group. Just something that is a change and will require you to be submitted to God. In a way that you weren't before. That's attack. That's attack in the kingdom realm. It's not being satisfied with status quo. Exercise our faith. Hello, Dominic. Didn't see you. Exercise our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're not to judge each other. We're not to belittle one another, because it just will backfire on us. What we are to do is have relationship with God and do the things that He wants us to do so that He can accomplish the good work that He wanted to do in us from the beginning. Not about a physical action necessarily, but often a physical action is the result of an internal action. And so be sensitive to those things. You got something? Come on ahead. I see the Spirit moving on him, and I'm thinking, Lord, you want me to bring him up? Yes, I do, he said. Okay.
Got this when you were talking. It's when Jacob ran away from Esau. He had a dream. And God said to him, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." And then Jacob says back to God, and then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, I will return to my father's house in safety. Then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up here as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you."
You got something more to say? No.
But that was what you said.
Yeah. That's it. How God brings confirmations, you know? Is Jen still here? I was looking for her. I didn't see her. She's in Sunday school. Oh. You'll go get her. Okay. Faith in action. She had faith that she can run down the stairs very fast and not fall. Hallelujah. So, it's... We have this ditch on either side of the road that God's called us to be on. One that is very liberal and allows anything to happen, and we can fall into that very quickly by wanting to by letting our hearts carry away with us and not tying it to Scripture. We must have the foundation of Scripture. And the other side is being so rigid in a way of thinking that we were taught, that we're not open to the Lord speaking to us about what that actually meant. Just as Jen's getting ready, we had this church in town, a good church, still in town. They had a student who was a doctoral student out at Regent College. And she was observing who we were as a church, and she phoned me and asked me if it would be okay if she followed me around for a week, because she was doing a dissertation on serving the poor. And I said, yeah, that would be fine, as long as I could read what she came up with. And so she followed me around for a week, saw the stuff that we were doing, and she wrote in her thesis that this is a church that is accomplishing the things that we see as being laid out in the New Testament. And they've done everything right, blah, 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 blah. And then she got down to, I am so glad that we at our church have our theology correct. And that line stuck out for me. And I asked her about it, and I said, don't you think that every single church on the face of the earth believes that line? And yet you don't agree with the other ones, you don't agree with us, but we all have our theology correct. Who is correct? Who is correct? God is correct. And we must be open before Him as we open His Word and allow it to change us as we see what He's doing. Not to be directed by one thing, go ye therefore forth. But sometimes we be directed in the balance of it, go and stay. Stay and go. As the Word is our action point, not status quo. So let's stand and let our wonderful worship leader direct us.